gave up his faded cream shirt for a new one in faded denim. Ryan kept his long coat, but took some new thermals, dark gray breeches, a brown shirt, and a new pair of combat boots with high lacings to replace the old pair with a bite from a rabid mongrel on the right toe. Finnegan and Hennings each picked similar outfits, high-necked jumpers in dark blue, with matching pants and black combat boots with steel toe caps. Oki kept her coveralls, choosing a sweater in light green for over the top. She also took a pair of low-heeled tan leather riding boots with the name Tony Lama inside. Honecker picked an exotic blouse in black satin with a pattern of leaves in green that matched her hair, gray cord trousers, and gray ankle boots. JB changed only his pants, which had been torn in a fight in the darks. He searched the echoing hangar of the clothes store until he found a pair as nearly identical as possible. Christy found a new pair of coveralls in her usual khaki. One problem they had was that clothes in unsealed or inadequately sealed boxes tended to fray and fall apart within hours of being worn. A pair of black leather trousers that Hennings had donned began to disintegrate almost instantly, resembling midnight lace within minutes after the air attacked them. Christy's one indulgence was in footwear. Lori went with her, tottering on her absurd high-heeled thigh-length boots, the silver spurs jingling behind her. She took Christy by the arm and led her to a section labeled Fashion and Working Boots, Top Names. There they found row upon row of large white cardboard boxes arranged by size and by maker. Tex Robin, Dave Little, Henry Leopold, Larry Mayen, and the one she liked best, J.E. Turnipseed. Miming her enthusiasm, Lori pulled down box after box, ripping out the contents of each to reveal a cascade of dazzling colors and patterns and leathers. Lori rummaged through the piles, looking for one she thought Christy might like. Her first choice had a heel nearly as high as her own boots, and Christy waved them away, smiling and trying to make the mute girl understand that she would fall over in them.
Those!
She pointed to a pair in dark blue leather that had silver falcons with spread wings on the front. The tips of the pointed toes, finished in sharp chiseled silver, seemed like lethal weapons. The heels were no higher than ordinary combat boots, and like the pair that Oki had chosen, Christy's boots were made by someone called Tony Lama. As Christy bent to try them on, her scarlet hair spread out in a brilliant wave over the dark calfskin of the boots. Then she stood up, feeling the snugness of the fit.
Ah! They're just wonderful, Lori. Thanks a lot.
A shadow crossed the girl's face, as though someone had walked over her grave. But it vanished so quickly that Christy wondered if she'd imagined it. But she knew that she hadn't. Finnegan tore open a waxed pack of breakfast cereal and read the label.
Ripened in the sun of Kansas and sweetened by the rain of Kansas. What the fuck is Kansas?
It was a place, Stoop, in the east of the Deathlands.
Ryan grinned. It was a little after noon, and he was preparing to leave the redoubt. He'd hinted to the doddering Quint that he was thinking about it, and the old man had thrown a fit, spraying spittle as he gesticulated angrily.
No! No! Keeper says not go! Dozer's ghost is dead. Dozer's stage is a lucky one. Don't try it. Many gone over the years, says the keeper. Only us left. Lori got to have us a babe. Be next keeper, not Rachel. She's too fucking old for babes.
Cotter hadn't argued with him. There was no point in rocking the boat. He and JB had discussed it and agreed that they should move on soon. In the redoubt, the only thing you got was soft. Hun, Oki, and Hennings had become fascinated with some ancient vid and audio equipment they'd found at one of the cavernous stores. They were collections of films and TV programs, as well as thousands of comp discs. Ryan had discovered similar stocks in other warehouses, but nothing on this massive scale. They could have played them for 10 years and never have heard or seen the same thing twice. Hun had taken a liking to a record called Robert Zimmerman Meets Again with the Boys from the Band. It seemed to be some sort of reunion concert from the year 2000 in some long-gone ville called Hibbing, Minnesota. She kept on playing it through a pocket quad with lightweight cans. Oki watched endless programs on one of the TVs and was amazed by the amount of violence. A series based on a unit of Sekhmen was her favorite, and she bored the others with her enthusiasm.
Hoo-wee! Listen, this little bastard called Belker is the greatest blaster you ever seen. Bites the shit out of the scum. But he don't kill as many as he should, probably to make him seem weak and interesting. He's got some real old guns, 38s and magnums.
She turned suddenly and pointed at Ryan.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Nobody else laughed. Nobody else understood what on the blasted earth she was talking about. Doc walked with Ryan down through the levels toward the exit. Not sharing an interest with the others in the old techno toys, Ryan contented himself with finding a library of crumbling paperback books, more than he had seen in his life, all gathered in one large room, with ladders to the high shelves and a balcony.
Had you the time, my dear Ryan, then you would find the answer to every riddle known to man in this one library.
The secret of who you are and how come you know so much about what happened before the chill?
I like to speak to a man who likes to speak his mind. Indeed I do, sir. I would often tell Alan that.
Alan? Who's Alan?
I have no recollection, I fear. Did I say Alan? Ah, well, as to my past, Ryan, I fear it must remain locked away a while longer.
But one day, huh?
Perhaps, my dear Mr. Corder, perhaps. Ah, here comes the delightful Miss Laurie, teetering along so prettily. It is peculiar, don't you think, that she is so much younger than Quint and the Harridan? An enigma shrouded in mystery, that.
The girl looked dazzlingly pretty to Ryan, her long golden hair tied back with a strand of emerald ribbon. Her red satin blouse had a small rip across the right breast, showing a tantalizing amount of flesh. Her short suede skirt clung tightly to her thighs, heightening her femininity. On her right hip was the holstered pearl-handled Walther PPK, apparently chambered for a .22 cartridge. Not much of a stopper, unless you were very good with it.
Hi.
Ryan received a broad smile from the girl and a nod.
I'll leave you two young people together, I think.
Doc grinned and bowed formally from the waist to Laurie, walking off before...